Sahana vavatu, sahanau bhunaktu, sahaviryan karavavahai, tejasvinavadhitamastumavidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 9, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Travels to the Holy Places. Verse 29, 361-362, page 140. Please hear the transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with faith and devotion, giving up envy of the Lord. Everyone chant the Lord's holy name, Hari. In this age of Kali, there are no genuine religious principles other than those established by Vaishnava devotees and the Vaishnava scriptures. This is the sum and substance of everything. Srila Prabhupada. One must have firm faith in the process of devotional service and the scriptures that support it. One hears the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his faith, he can be freed from his envious position. Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for such non-envious persons. Nirmach Saranam Satam. In this age, a person should not envy Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, but should chant the holy names of Hari and Krishna, the Maha Mantra. That is the sum and substance of the eternal religion, known as Sanatan Dharma. In this verse, the word Vaishnava refers to a pure devotee and fully realized soul, and the word Vaishnava Shastra refers to Shruti, or the Vedas, which are called Shabda Praman, the evidence of transcendental sound. One who strictly follows the Vedic literature and chants the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead will actually be situated in the transcendental disciplic succession. Those who want to attain life's ultimate goal must follow this principle. In Srimad Bhagavatam 11.19.17, it is said, Shrutis, Shruti Pratyaksham Aitihyam Anumanam Chatushtayam Pramaneshvara Vastanad Vikalpat sa virajyate. Vedic literature, direct perception, history, and hypothesis are the four kinds of evidential proofs. Everyone should stick to these principles for the realization of the absolute truth. So you have the Vedic literature, which is giving the basis. Then you're going to have the the history of how people applied this, right? In other words, the Smriti. But you take the Vedic literature that can make the Shruti and Smriti, and then the history will be what the great personalities, the Acharyas and that, they give. How they applied it, how they became perfect. Then you apply the hypothesis, how that's going to fit in your life, right? That brings you to direct perception that you can see it working in your life. That way you have the four. Right? So when we add in this history aspect, then that's because they're the personalities that are speaking and teaching us how to follow the Vedic literature. So it's also Shabda. It just means the guru aspect of the Shabda. Because otherwise you have Shabda, which means Vedic literature and the history. It means the Acharyas. Right? Then you have Anuman, which is hypothesis, and then Pratyaksha, direct perception. So we have three evidences. But we have to appreciate that the Vedic literature, without guru, then how we'll understand. Does that make sense? Because otherwise somebody says, oh, why are you using four? Because these four are actually three. So that's explained by Jiva Goswami, I think, in Tattva Sandarbha. Because there'll be ten, but that all these things, most of them, they're all parts of something else. They're just finer points of something else. They're just making it into parts, but they're the same thing. 2936-3365. The pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are just like an unfathomable ocean. It is not possible for me to enter into it. Simply standing on the shore, I am but touching the water. The more one hears the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with faith, analytically studying them, the more one attains the ecstatic riches of love of God, Godhead. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Conclusion. One must accept the principle of standard knowledge because one cannot attain the absolute truth simply by intellectual perception. Speculation. 949 purport. If everyone is an authority, or if everyone accepts his own intelligence as the ultimate criterion, as is presently fashionable, the scriptures will be interpreted in many different ways, and everyone will claim that his own philosophy is supreme. This has become a very great problem, and everyone is interpreting scripture in his own way and setting up his own basis of authority. Jato mat tato pat. Now everybody and anybody is trying to establish his own theory as the ultimate truth. 949 purport. Spiritual substance is never within the jurisdiction of the material conception. This is always the verdict of the Vedas and Puranas. Text 149. We should not try to understand things beyond our material conception by argument and counter-argument. We have to follow in the footsteps of great authorities coming down in the parampara system. If we approach a bona fide acharya and keep faith in his words, spiritual realization will be easy. 9195 purport. No one can attain the absolute truth by argument. One may be very expert in logic, and another person may be even more expert in the art of argument. Right, so that means logic and rhetoric. Right? But because there is so much word jugglery in logic, one can never come to the real conclusion about the absolute truth by argument. The followers of the Vedic principles understand this. However, it is seen here that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeated the Buddhist philosophy by argument. Those who are preachers in ISKCON will certainly meet many people who believe in intellectual arguments. Most of these people do not believe in the authority of the Vedas. Nevertheless, they accept intellectual speculation and argument because they accept themselves as authority based on their own speculation, their own logic. So if you can, from your perception, give a logic that they feel, that they accept, they'll accept that aspect. They won't accept it because it's Vedic. They'll accept it because of the logical presentation. Therefore, the preachers of Krishna consciousness should be prepared to defeat others by argument, just as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. 949 purport. So in this, it's not about, because it's not winning the argument. It's presenting the conclusion. Right? The Siddhanta. So, if one sits here, reads this and says, "Oh, okay, so argument. So I should study, Tarka and like that." You can. It's not that it's a problem, but it's not that by knowing Tarka that you convince them of Krishna consciousness. You could win the argument, but it doesn't mean that how you won the argument convinced them of Krishna consciousness. So then, how does the argument have potency? It's going to be by purity. When one is fixed in the faith of Guru and Krishna and Shastra, then it's going to work. Then you're prepared for argument, but the point is, since you're presenting the absolute truth, you're simply finding which way to present it that they'll accept. So it's not argument as such. It's you're presenting the absolute, and you just keep presenting until you get to the point where it works, right? Because they're materialists; they don't have that focused consciousness because it's speculation. They don't have a standard. They have a few of their values and this and that, but those can always adjust. Those can always change. So you just keep going till you find an angle that now they'll agree with it. And it might take a little bit of time. So that's the point, is that one should be, prepared. Because sometimes you may say you present it, people don't like it, they argue with it, and I'm not getting into this. No, you have to be able to deal with it. If it's someone of, worth that time, then you put in that effort. Does that make sense? You put in that effort. And then you get through. And with time you figure out which are the ones that's worth discussing with and which are the ones that aren't. Yes.
There are people who argue, the logic, all the elements to get into a debate, and you want to be convinced. You convince me that you're right.
Yes.
But out of those, there are those who may end up agreeing with what you say, but have no intention to be convinced in terms of, okay, I accept your fact.
Yes.
But then you have others who actually want to be convinced, and if you convince them by logic, argument, or by taking your time, as you mentioned,
yes,
then they'll come.
Yes.
So sometimes it's hard when you argue with somebody, it's like the academics, you have a PhD in that was some law. They don't believe anything, they're just experts.
Yes.
Doesn't matter how much.
But that's the whole point. Master can beat experts. Mastery can beat expertise. Because expertise is limited. While mastery is not so limited. So it means expertise is limited to working in that the technical points that give the taste. Like you said, for an academic, he has a degree in the Sandarbhas. But for him, it's just the Sandarbhas and the technical points of Sandarbhas that he's interested in. But actually, what it actually means and all that, he doesn't understand. And he can't explain it to anyone else. But he can discuss with someone else who has kind of a background in that. But he can't explain it to anyone. Well, mastery, you can explain the Sandarbhas to anyone. So then it's just a matter of time of seeing. If it's somebody you have an acquaintance and all that, and you always, every time you meet, you have a little friendly argument. That's just the relationship. But at some point, then they might start to wonder, because by the association. But otherwise, if they just want to establish their authority, then, what's the point? So it's just a matter of seeing what's, like you said, it's just a matter of trying to see who are the innocent people who want to know and who are, inimical, in whatever form, mayaya pratigyanas and this and that. Inimical doesn't mean that they're badly behaved. Inimical just means they're not interested. So then for them, then you might give them prasad. They don't want to hear this and that, you just give them prasad regularly. Like if you're going to the campus anyway, you bring them some prasad, and then you go talk to those who are more interested. Like that. And then slowly by taking prasad, then it has its effect.
Because I was thinking about the work that our devotees are doing in the academic circle.
Right.
They don't go in there with the intention to convince people to make devotees.
Right.
They go there to establish qualified authority.
Okay.
That's the only.
If you can do that, then that's nice. At least they don't give us trouble. Like that. Right, but then if they can do that, that's nice. Okay. But then that means you're working with conclusions and sticking to those points, that this is how the parampara works. They may think it's subjective, but it's subjective in this way, and it's consistent in its subjectivity. So if they can do that, then that's nice also. But at the same time, since you're on campus, why not talk to people who will be devotees? Because before, devotees would go sit down in the quad and then preach to the students. They wouldn't even bother with the teachers. If a teacher was interested, then they'd talk to them. But otherwise, they didn't target specifically teachers. Because you can't change the curriculum. You can maybe change so that they don't bother you if an issue comes up, and then they may be, you know, a little favorable. You know, so it can help in that way. So then it's a nice thing. It's a good thing. But since you're there, why not speak to those who will care?
You know, on the one hand, you've got the Gainesville campus.
Right.
The Kalakanta has been distributing to Shama for 25 years. And the ashram, the Krishna house, is packed.
Yes.
And then on the other, you've got someone like the Buddha Prabhu, who's been teaching Bhagavad Gita as it is to thousands of students. It's, you know, it's not like everything.
Yes, that's the point. So the thing is basically, I mean, if you can use it to advantage, then the academic degree, you know, if it can help, then great. But at the same time, is generally, it's just good for getting a job as an academic and paying the bills so you can practice your devotional service. But it should never be thought that by getting that degree, then you'll be able to establish a conclusion of Krishna consciousness in the academic circle or change their world thinking. No, I think it means, and you might adjust something, but you won't establish conclusions. I think, like, not sure where he is, but he's somewhere up north, Advaita Prabhu, I think his name. I'm not sure what university he's in. But he's been working, like, last 40 years or something on getting rid of the Aryan invasion theory, and I think he's gotten some traction. So, but he hasn't established conclusions, but, you know, it's something. That's what he can do, so then it's nice. You know, it should just be clear what you can do with mental speculators. Like that. You can't necessarily do much, but you know, you might like gradually have some influence where they appreciate what we're doing, and so they don't bother us. And then if things come up, issues come up, then they're not going to support the issues. And that way, then it's nice. But like you said, distribute prasad, you get a lot more people. And the thing is, Brahmins like to eat, so you can also feed the teachers. You just find out what they'll eat. So, because you're starting from a basis that you can't understand the inconceivable through logic. It's beyond intelligence. It's beyond the mind's capacity. So it's quite logical that you can't understand something that's inconceivable. The same time as we have that, therefore, what's inconceivable has to be defined by those who are beyond the material. Right? They have seen the truth like this, and so therefore the Vedic literatures, that's what they do. They reveal the inconceivable. You have faith in that or not, but that's the system. And you can't say that's illogical or that's sentimental. You know what I'm saying? Logical, you can't. If you're saying it is, then you're being biased. And being biased is not a glorious trait amongst the academics. So in any case, this is our line, this is how we think, the parampara, and they should accept that. You know, it means, like you said, they may not join, but they just agree that, yes, that's a way to approach it. You know, just like they accept their authorities, and then you'll find after a few generations something is found different. But the principle of accepting authority, that descending process, that's a very important element for raising, you know, the awareness and the consciousness. So this is the Vedic system, you know, the Vaishnav system. So this is what we do. There's four lines like that. We are within one of those. Then you have an agreement, and like that. And if you know how to speak the speak, then you can hang around with them and they won't get upset. Okay.
You said as a conclusion in the beginning that Sanchila Prabhupada is saying that it is presently fashionable that everyone thinks he is authority.
Yes.
And do you know if in the history, when the change has been made, can we say that after the Second World War in Europe?
You have that. That will definitely have a point. World War One, it means any of these major kind of issue points, you see that there's an adjustment.
Yes.
Because with World War One, there's a reduction in authority.
Yes.
Because they got rid of all the nobility and the kings.
Yes.
And like that. And they want to replace those with you know, democracies that are run by the people.
Yes.
So that means then that democracy means each individual technically is an authority.
Yes.
Right? And then they agree to elect one person to run things because, you know, to try to manage things with, you know, millions of people is more difficult. You know, get one person to oversee it works much better. So that they could say is that's definitely a point, you know. You could say is World War One, you lose authority. World War Two, then they basically got more into enjoying life. It was just like, they're just happy to be alive, so, you know, enjoy while you can. So you just see this as steps, but then you go back before that, then you'll see is that there's that aspect of the Enlightenment, where they're separating church and state and freeing themselves from all the shackles of religion so that they can now speculate to, you know, to their, yeah, the maximum, to their fullest, you know, satisfaction. So that is also a very great blow. Like that. But at the same time is, from there, you know, going back, then people are practicing religion, they're having their idea, but they're not actually seeing through to the absolute truth. So then you have the foolishness that each group thinks that what they're doing is all that there is, and they can't agree with anybody else. So actually they're violent meets. When you go in and knock down somebody else's place, build yours on top, there's an element of violence there, you know, and that violence has an aspect of towards the Lord, because people are respecting the Lord in their own way, in their own place. And so you see this element of violence is very, very common, you know. So it's not that there's any great maturity there. So those who are not so religious, or those who are more liberal, who will point this out, then yes, it's true. But at the same time, it's not that we see that those who have given up the religious are any more of cohesive. You know, it's not like there's any less fighting and wars now than there were before. You know, so that's the thing. Is that it's unless you're God conscious and it's about God, not about ourselves, then there's always going to be these problems. You know, so there's a maturity that is required that is not overly popular.
And this comes by education. This comes by education.
And this comes, it means getting the problem, yes, by education and association. Because they have to see is that if you're talking about pure devotion to the Lord, then these other things have to be dropped because they're false identities.
Yes.
Right? Like that. Yeah. Okay. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returns to Jagannath Puri. Okay, so then we have Chapter 10, the Lord's Return to Jagannath Puri. Chapter 11, Veda Kirtan Pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chapter 12, Cleansing of the Gundicha Temple. Okay. Okay, so then, Chapter 10. Lord's Return to Jagannath Puri. Pratigya. Lord Sri Krishna is merciful, but his mercy does not depend on mundane rules and regulations. He is dependent only on affection and nothing else. Adhyaya Prakashika. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling in South India, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had many talks with King Prataparudra. When Maharaj Prataparudra requested the Bhattacharya to arrange an interview with the Lord, the Bhattacharya assured him that he would try to do so as soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned from South India. When the Lord returned to Jagannath Puri from his South India tour, he lived at the home of Kashi Mishra. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya introduced many Vaishnavas to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after his return. The father of Ramananda Rai, Bhavananda Rai, or Bhavananda Rai, offered another son named Vaninath Patanayaka for the Lord's service. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed his associates about the pollution of Krishnadas brought about by his association with the Bhattataris, and thus the Lord proposed to give him leave. Nityananda Prabhu sent Krishnadas to Bengal to inform the Navadvip devotees about the Lord's return to Jagannath Puri. All the devotees of Navadvip thus began to arrange to come to Jagannath Puri. At this time, Paramananda Puri was at Navadvip, and immediately upon hearing news of the Lord's return, he started for Jagannath Puri, accompanied by a Brahmin named Kamalakanta. Purushottama Bhattacharya, a resident of Navadvip, was educated at Varanasi. He accepted a renounced order from Chaitanyananda, but he took the name of Sarupa. Footnote 1. This is Sarupa Damodar, Lord Chaitanya's secretary. Purushottam Bhattacharya. Thus he arrived at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After the demise of Sri Ishvara Puri, his disciple Govinda, following his instructions, went to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Due to his relationship with Keshava Bharati, Ramananda Bharati was also respectfully received by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he arrived at Jagannath Puri, he was advised to give up the deerskin clothing he wore. When Brahmananda understood Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu correctly, he accepted him as Krishna himself. However, when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya addressed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Krishna, the Lord immediately protested. In the meantime, Kashishvara Goswami also came to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this chapter, devotees from many different areas came to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they are exactly like many rivers that come from many places to finally flow into the sea. Shloka Anusharana. Summary of verses. Verses 1 to 25. King Prataparudra's desire to meet with Lord Chaitanya. 26 to 62. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meets with his devotees. 63 to 94. Kala Krishnadas is sent to Bengal. 95 to 101. Paramananda Puri arrives at Jagannath Puri. 102 to 129. The story of Sri Sarupa Damodar. 130 to 150, the arrival of Govinda. 151 to 183, Brahmananda Bharati's interaction with Lord Chaitanya. 184 to 190, all the devotees make their way to meet with the Lord. Verses 1 to 25, King Prataparudra's desire to meet with Lord Chaitanya. 210, 1 to 13. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is compared to a cloud that pours water on fields of grain, which are like devotees suffering due to a shortage of rain. Separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like a drought, but when the Lord returns, his presence is like a nectarine rain that falls on all the grains and saves them from perishing. All glories to Lord Chaitanya, all glories to Nityananda Prabhu, all glories to Advaita Chandra, and all glories to all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu departed for South India, King Prataparudra called Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to his palace. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya met with the king offered him a seat with all respects and inquired about news of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The king said to the Bhattacharya, I have heard that a great personality has come from Bengal and is staying at your home. I have also heard that he is very, very merciful. I have also heard that this great personality has shown you great favor. At any rate, this is what I hear from many different people. Now, being merciful unto me, you should do me the favor of arranging an interview. The Bhattacharya replied, All that you have heard is true, but as far as an interview is concerned, it is very difficult to arrange. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the renounced order and is very much detached from worldly affairs. He stays in solitary places, and even in dreams, he does not grant interviews to a king. Still, I would have tried to arrange your interview, but he has recently left to tour South India. The king asked, why has he left Jagannath Puri? The Bhattacharya replied, such are the pastimes of a great personality. Great saints go to holy places of pilgrimage in order to purify them. For that reason, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is visiting many tirthas and delivering many, many conditioned souls. Saints of your caliber are themselves places of pilgrimage. Because of their purity, they are constant companions of the Lord, and therefore they can purify even the places of pilgrimage. Footnote 2. This verse, spoken by Maharaj Yudhishthir to Vidura in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.13.10, is also quoted in the Adi Lila 1.63. A Vaishnava travels to places of pilgrimage to purify them and reclaim fallen conditioned souls. This is one of the duties of a Vaishnava. Actually, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not a living entity, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Consequently, he is a fully independent controller, yet in his position as a devotee, he carries out the activities of a devotee. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur points out that because there are many permanent residents in holy places who do not precisely follow the rules and regulations governing living in a sacred place, exalted devotees have to go to these places to reclaim such persons. This is the business of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is unhappy to see others materially enmeshed. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught these activities of a Vaishnava, although he is the worshipable deity of all Vaishnavas, the complete and independent Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukta, complete, completely uncontaminated, and eternally liberated. He is Sanatana, for he has no beginning or end. 2:10, 14-17. Upon hearing this, the king replied, why did you allow him to leave? Why didn't you fall at his lotus feet and keep him here? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replied, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself and is completely independent. Being Lord Krishna himself, he is not dependent on anyone. Still, I endeavored very hard to keep him here, but because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and completely independent, I was not successful. The king said, Bhattacharya, you are the most learned and experienced person I know. Therefore, when you address Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Lord Krishna, I accept this as the truth. Srila Prabhupada, this is the way to advance in spiritual science. One must accept the words of an acharya, a bona fide spiritual master, to clear the path for spiritual advancement. This is the secret of success. However, one's guide must be a spiritual master who is actually an unalloyed devotee, strictly following the instructions of the previous acharya without deviation. Whatever the spiritual master says must be accepted by the disciple. Only then is success certain. This is the Vedic system. And remember, we said this morning, we heard about there's the... What were those three personalities? Something like the miserable, the confused, and the successful. Remember?
Yeah.
But they had different names for the first two.
The fools,
okay. Yes.
The wise.
And the wise, yeah. The fools, the wise, and the
successful.
So then the successful are those who come to the transcendental platform, those who are liberated. So here he's saying is that, oh, then only success is certain. Yes. Only then you can come to the transcendental platform. Because as long as we maintain our mundane concepts, then we will remain on that mundane platform. Right? You know, to that degree that we accept the transcendental subject, to that degree we will advance. So therefore then one should accept. But, you know, one has that time that position in which you can study and see and be convinced. But once you're convinced and accept, then one should take everything. Otherwise, then if you mix things, then those areas won't be successful. Right? And so, if we're looking at success as being accomplishment of a short-term goal, those you may get. But the point is the long-term of that full surrender of the lotus feet of the Lord and developing love for Him, that will be restricted. So one has to accept all these things in that context because there's a reason for it. Because, as we were saying, as the previous points were being made, Prabhupada was saying, that people will accept themselves as their own, as the authority. It means they're the authority for themselves, of course, but they also consider they're the authority for everyone else. And so, then this creates a problem. So then, if we support that foolishness, then you develop a problem. Because these political positions, they're constantly adjusting, constantly changing. They're never staying the same. So whatever today is in one direction, because it's a pendulum swing. You've used that term? You know it's a pendulum? Pendulum is like, let's say, you have those old standing clocks, and they have that little thing that swings this side to that side. That's a pendulum. Point is there's the middle, which is, where devotional service will lie. Those will go this way, then they'll go by that way, then this way. So you'll see that a lot of times if something is going, and that, it's all about the temples, then bang, it's just community. There's no balance. It's not like, bring them all together. Or somebody's great and then they're terrible. Things like this. This is just how it goes. So it can just swing like that. So that's the difficulty. So to put one's faith in these things over the transcendental position, over the transcendental authority, is very risky for one's own spiritual life. It doesn't help yourself, doesn't help others. So one has to know that they know what they're dealing with. Just like let's say you have the aspect where, let us say you have some mundane people in a group. And in the group, they decide on certain rules, laws. Now, they've made up those laws, and those laws may not have any real value. But, if they break those laws, Krishna will punish them for that. Even though they're not even His laws, they made them up, but because they're not following. In other words, human life is meant for regulation, for following direction. So if you won't follow Krishna's, if you'll follow any direction, then it's better than no direction at all. You do have your standard, but at least in principle it's better. Does that make sense? So that's better. You follow that, it's better. So the whole idea is that they're constantly breaking down authority and establishing their own authority. Whatever's previous, whatever's traditional, whatever's, especially if it's religious, these things are all broken down. So they can fall. So how could anything out of that come proper? Where's the regulation? So they're not even seeing that these things cause a lack of regulation. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty. The essence is not approach. An issue is there, but what's the essence of that? That's not approach. You know what I'm saying? And people don't want to hear that. They have their issues. You have to agree with their issue. If you try to give something higher than that, they may or may not agree with it. Somebody says, it's... So that's the point, is that there's no use in giving up one's situation in Krishna consciousness for the benefit of those who are accepting themselves as their own authority. So that's why it says this is the way. Whatever the spiritual master says must be accepted by the disciple. Only then is success certain. This is the Vedic system. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a Brahmana and a realized soul, whereas Pratapuruja was a Kshatriya. Kshatriya kings used to obey very faithfully the orders of learned Brahmanas and saintly persons, and in this way they would rule their country. Similarly, Vaishyas used to follow the king's order, and Shudras used to serve the three higher castes. In this way, the Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras used to live cooperatively, performing their respective duties. Consequently, society was peaceful, and people were able to discharge the duties of Krishna consciousness. Thus, they were happy in this life and able to return home back to Godhead. Right? Because people are thinking, if I'm in control, I get more sense gratification. Since sense gratification is the goal, I want to be on my own. But the point is, if everybody's on their own, isn't that caveman? You know, and then the modern, they pride themselves on being civilized and sophisticated, and they're not caveman, but their philosophy is taking them to be cavemen. You know, okay, maybe they're apartment men, and they do pictures on the walls of their apartments, but, you know, similar kind of thing. You know, I say, leave their apartment to go out hunting, hunter-gatherer, you know, going around to the different markets, you know, like this. So, the difficulty comes up is that they talk one thing about elevating, but they're going in the opposite direction. Anything civilized means there's common rules that everybody follows, and you have community, therefore you move up. But anything that makes community, those rules are broken down, so that anybody can do whatever they like. And then as it doesn't work out, then you have to blame someone else. So it must be those who are following the rules. They're the cause of all this. No, it's that they're causing their own problem.
When there are some sense gratification, it's automatically become like that.
Yes, yes. Means, but the point is even if sense gratification is the focus, in let's say in karma, you know, the karma, you know, the that then the point is they're willing to regulate their life in line with the laws of God, or at least the laws of nature. And so then they can cooperate together. But if there's a standard that holds people together, but someone feels they want to break that to express themselves, and then you break it down for everybody, so this one small group can do whatever they like, you have to break it for everybody, then where it's going to go, you don't know. And then the idea is, no, then we're breaking down prejudices. No, they're just creating more and more. Because prejudice means you have already an idea about somebody. You know? You're not willing to listen. And so then, how are they not prejudiced? If anybody doesn't agree with them, they're prejudiced against those who they say are prejudiced. So that's the point, is that just there is no progress. We see in society is, yes, let people get more and more into the things and all that, you see less trouble, but trouble that does come up, they're less able to deal with it. And then who deals with these things is going to be the authority. Right? And then they break, attack authority. So then you're just going to end up with, you know, what it is, Mad Max or, you know, something like that. You know? Does that make sense? Yeah. 2:10:18-23. King Pratapuruja continued, "When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returns, I wish to see him just once in order to make my eyes perfect." Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replied, "His Holiness, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, will return very soon. I wish to have a nice place ready for him, a place solitary and peaceful. Lord Chaitanya's residence should be very secluded and also near the temple of Jagannath. Please consider this proposal and give me a nice place for him." The king replied, "Kashi Mishra's house is exactly what you require. It is near the temple and is very secluded, calm and quiet." After saying this, the king became very anxious for the Lord to return. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya then went to Kashi Mishra to convey the king's desire. When Kashi Mishra heard the proposal, he said, "I am very fortunate that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord of all Prabhus, will stay at my house, or my home." Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the word Prabhupada, referring to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is significant. Regarding this, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada comments, "Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself, Sri Krishna, and all His servants address Him as Prabhupada. This means that there are many Prabhus taking shelter under His lotus feet. The pure Vaishnava is addressed as Prabhu, and this address is an etiquette observed between Vaishnavas. When many Prabhus remain under the shelter of the lotus feet of another Prabhu, the address Prabhupada is given. Sri Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Advaita Prabhu are also addressed as Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Advaita Prabhu, and Sri Nityananda Prabhu are all Vishnu Tattva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. Therefore, all living entities are under their lotus feet." Lord Vishnu is the eternal Lord of everyone, and the representatives of Lord Vishnu is the Lord's confidential servant. Such a person acts as the spiritual master for neophyte Vaishnavas. Therefore, the spiritual master is as respectable as Sri Chaitanya, Krishna Chaitanya, or Lord Vishnu himself. For this reason, the spiritual master is addressed as Om Vishnupad or Prabhupada. The Acharya, the spiritual master, is generally respected by others as Sripad, and the initiated Vaishnavas are addressed as Prabhu. Prabhu, Prabhupada, and Vishnupad are described in revealed scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Chaitanya Bhagavat. In this regard, these scriptures present evidence accepted by unalloyed devotees. The Prakriti Sahajiyas are not even worthy of being called Vaishnavas. They think that only caste Goswami should be called Prabhupada. Such ignorant Sahajiyas call themselves Vaishnav Dasa Anudas, which means the servant of the Vaishnavas. However, they are opposed to addressing the pure Vaishnava as Prabhupada. In other words, they are envious of a bona fide spiritual master who is addressed as Prabhupada, and they commit offenses by considering a bona fide spiritual master an ordinary human being or a member of a certain caste. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur describes such Sahajiyas as most unfortunate. Because of their misconceptions, they fall into a hellish condition. Udriti. In Jagannath Puri, the Lord Chaitanya lived at the house of Kashi Mishra, who was the priest of the king. Oh, Kashi Mishra is the priest of the king. Okay. Later, this house was inherited by Vakreshwara Pandit, and then by his disciple, Gopala Guru Goswami, who established a deity of Radhakanta there. The Gauraganodesh Deepika 193 states that Kashi Mishra was formerly Kubja in Mathura. Adi Lila 10, 131, purport. Okay. Cool. I never knew Kashi Mishra was the king's pujari. Okay. So that's how he knows about his place, because maybe the king gave him that place and everything.
Two points. When he said he has had the Acharya special master, je ne l'ai plus by others as Sripad. Usually we put the term like Sripad Bhattacharya, Sripad Acharya. But here it seems like it is a title, Sripad like Prabhupada. It seems similar, no? But it is a title.
Yeah, but that means you have that Sripad is like that. It's just a way of addressing.
It's like Prabhupada, Guru Dev.
You have that, but it also means you can see that you Sripad for these kind of personalities.
Yes.
Like for others, then Prabhupada say Sriman.
Yes.
Like that.
Yes.
But also Lord Chaitanya is called Sriman Mahaprabhu.
Yes.
So these are just titles that are you know, bring out the aspect of their respectable position. Yeah, honorific. Like that. But you see, is also you have the aspect of Prabhupada, it can be used as after. These other Sripad, like that, Sriman, Sri, Srila, they're all before. You know. So then, either they are having opulences, or they're representing Krishna who has these opulences.
Yes.
Yeah. So Sripad is also... But it's not a name as such, you know. It's an honorific title. You know, someone might be always referred to in that way, and that's just an individual thing that might come up. So,
this means that we can title alone, and also part of the name.
Yes. Alone, I haven't. Have you seen it used? Just Sripad? Just referring to someone as Sripad? And don't say the name? I think it always goes with a name.
But because here it is said, Srila Prabhupada is saying that the Acharya is just a message generally respected by others as Sripad.
Yeah.
And it's...
Yeah, but Sripad is the title used before.
Before.
You know, it's just like, for general devotees, you know, use His Grace,
yes,
or His Holiness,
yes,
you know, or like that. So it's one of those titles. So that's more used for the spiritual master.
Yes, not alone.
You know, you probably wouldn't say Sripad Bhakta Jose. Like that.
Sriman
Bhakta Jose. That you might say, yeah. That you. So I think in one of the books, when he's talking about, he's thanking everybody, then there are a few that are not initiated, and he puts the Sriman there and stuff. So it's just a respectful title. So it's just the Sripad is generally used for the spiritual master. You know, so like this. So. For us, we have what we're doing on our level, and these things we generally use for those, the previous acharyas and these great personalities. But it basically means that it's someone of that kind of caliber. Does that make sense?
2:10:24:25. No, it's when in the beginning, was asking Sarabhama why Lord Chaitanya has been to South India, and he said it's coming soon. I think it took a few years, no?
Yes, but there's no chronology for what the conversation is. But even if he's coming soon, in comparison to eternity, it's pretty quick. Like that. Yeah, so... Sorry?
Aha.
Uh-huh.
He's coming soon. I really hope he's coming soon.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry? Yes, Rasi Express.
You got a combination.
Okay. Thus, all the residents of Jagannath Puri, which is also known as Purushottama, became anxious to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again. When all the residents of Jagannath Puri became extremely anxious to meet the Lord again, he returned from South India. So it seems here when they became extremely anxious, then he came back at that time. Does that mean if they're so anxious and he doesn't come back, then where's going to be the rasa? So they're, you know, they're feeling the separation, but things are going on, but when it comes extreme, that's the time when he comes. Verses 26 to 62. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meets with the devotees. His devotees. 2:10:26-41. Hearing of the Lord's return, everyone became very happy, and they all went to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and spoke to him as follows. Please arrange our meeting with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is only by your mercy that we can attain the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. The Bhattacharya replied to the people, tomorrow the Lord will be at the house of Kashyamishra. I shall arrange for you all to meet him. The next day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived and went with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya with great enthusiasm to see the temple of Lord Jagannath. All the servants of Lord Jagannath delivered remnants of the Lord's food to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In return, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced them all. After seeing Lord Jagannath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left the temple. The Bhattacharya then took him to the house of Kashyamishra. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived at his house, Kashyamishra immediately fell down at his lotus feet and surrendered himself and all his possessions. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then showed Kashyamishra his forearm form. Then, accepting him for his service, the Lord embraced him. Right? Because also his kubja is in Mathura, so there is the forearm form. Okay. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu next sat...
I had a question on this forearm form.
You want to know how many arms are
there? No, because we know that in Braj, Krishna has only two arms.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Dwarka, he also has two arms. But in Mathura, sometimes he manifests two arms, and sometimes he manifests two arms, and there are different descriptions of that. So what is the nature of that place? Why is he doing that? Because some devotees, they want to know, is it two-arm or is it four-arm? But actually, it's both.
Yeah. I mean, there's always this ultimatum that has to be this or has to be that. And if it's this, then everything's like this. And if it's that, then it's everything's like that. That means it's always so extreme. So, I like we were reading in the morning, the so dramatic.
Yeah,
it's always so dramatic. You have the aspect that you have sweetness and you have the majesty. So that means both can be there. It's not a problem. Because the sweetness is strong there, but the majesty is also strong. So I think also there are times when he manifests forearms in Dwarka, but I think it's not as often. Because we see is when he comes into Mathura, he has the forearms.
Yeah.
But whether in the regular daily pastimes he has forearms, that I'm not sure. But you do hear when he came in with Balaram, then they had forearms like that. At least they saw the forearms. I'm not sure if the Brajbasi saw forearms, but yeah. So the idea is that Krishna's manifesting according to the flavor of the devotee and what's going to be the appropriate form for that devotee to reciprocate with. So I don't think it's a problem whether it is two or four. I'm sure that there is some, you know, very technical answer by, you know, one of the acharyas. But the point is it doesn't have to be this or that. Point is when you're dealing in Goloka outside of Vrindavan, then he can be two or four. It both match the mood. Is that?
Yeah.
Because that's the point is Goloka is mixed. Right? Gokula is not mixed. It's only sweetness. But Goloka means then is sweetness and majesty. And then Vaikuntha is just majesty. Right? So that way then you have Goloka Vrindavan, right? And then you have lower Goloka, which will be where you have the aspect of the majesty is there. So that will be Mathura and Dwarka, Hastinapur, you know, any of that kind of circle like that. And it appears that there's also aspects of Vrindavan that have that there also. Because there are those who are from the Vaikuntha platform, the majesty platform, that very much appreciate the Lord's pastimes in Vrindavan. But they'll see it as an expansion of Narayan's pastimes. So there'll be some aspect of that also. So that's all, right? At the same time as, at least from Mathura and Dwarka, and then Vaikuntha, you can call them all Vaikuntha. Right? Because Dwarka and Mathura are also Vaikuntha. But they'll be a higher position of Vaikuntha than the planets with the 24 Vishnumurtis. Does that make sense? Because they have, you know, more aspects of the rasa, so he's manifesting more kind of intensity in those things. So the intensity will be great. So it's just a matter of what goes on. So we hear the major aspects and how they work. And the fine details, then it doesn't matter. I mean, are they interested? Who has to know? Are they planning to go to Mathura? Is that where they want to do their service? They want to have relationship with Krishna and Mathura?
No, but the question was, is that it's inconsistent, because, you know, people want like this.
This is a fun thing. And they don't want to have anything to do with inconsistencies.
Yes. Not in Krishna.
That's my point. Exactly. They're totally into inconsistencies, and that's what gives them all their happiness and joy. But with Krishna, there can be no inconsistencies, because it all has to be cut and dried and everything, and that's why we worship Krishna, because he's so cut and dried. Like that. The point is Krishna's independent. He can do what he usually likes. So if a Mathura, sometimes it's four, sometimes it's two. Why is that inconsistent? The two has the more sweetness aspect, the four has more majesty. It's a mix of the two. Why is that inconsistent? It's like the devotee goes to work, he wears one outfit. He sits at home on the couch, he wears another outfit. Isn't this inconsistent? Why doesn't he wear one thing all the time? You know, so these kind of things is that we have to remember. Krishna is a person, the devotees are people. And it's not about making sense to your intelligence. It's about you having faith. These things are revealed, then it makes sense. But if you want to you see a million times it says you cannot understand it by mental speculation. So here they're speculating. That's why they can't understand. They're thinking, no, I'm just being, you know, just practically logical. That's mental speculation. Otherwise, they'd accept it. Then by accepting that faith, then they would understand it. Because it's descending. If they demand that, no, it has to be logical to my intelligence, then why are you here in the material world? Nothing's logical. Other than Krishna's laws, which we don't necessarily seem to like to follow. So you know, where is this logic? So that's the point, as it was said previously, they accept themselves as their own authority. And so because I say this is the way it should be, that's how it has to be. And so we have to get beyond that and understand Krishna's independent. And he can do both. And of course, you can give this technical reason why. But the point is, ultimately, it comes back to just his desire and the relationship with his devotees, the rasa. Has nothing to do with that it's some technical rule. Okay. That makes sense.
You do manifest all time in the forest to the gopis.
Yeah. Forearm to the gopis in Vrindavan. Very inconsistent. So you should stay away from Vrindavan pastimes. So Vrindavan pastimes and Mathura pastimes, sometimes he does that in Dwarka also. Now, in Vaikuntha, it's only four arms, never two arms. So then you can be happy about that consistency. But if Gopa Kumar shows up, then Vaikuntha Nath does manifest two arms, get out his flute and starts playing it, and cows are all around and all that, so then that's inconsistent.
If
Ramananda Rai shows 6 arms. Coming out of the pillar, 8 arms. Killing Hiranyakashipu, 10 arms. Killing the army, 1,000 arms. Yeah, we got a problem here. Yeah, it's just these are all his forms, it's his sarup. He has all these aspects. And according to the situation, whatever's the mood and all that, he manifests through his internal potency. So then, the idea is that then to understand is that Krishna the person, why he's doing that. So then he only does things because of the relationship with the devotees. So then it must be something to do with the devotees and why he's doing that. And so that's very consistent according to, as the someone surrendered, that's how Krishna reciprocates. You know, and because he's speculating, then Krishna reciprocates as speculation, and he can't understand. So it's all very consistent. Does that make sense? Yeah.
But now I think that one of the main problems is the question of authority.
Authority.
Because if most of the people don't accept authority, it's becoming like normal.
Yes.
You know? And if it is normal, means the tendency is to want to know the detail of the principle. If you accept authority, you accept the principle. But if you don't accept authority, it's only detail.
Only detail, yeah, because that's the difficulty, is that where the what was it? What did they put? We're reading in the morning. You have the Karika, you have the Nirupta. What was the first one? Yeah, Sangraha.
Yes.
So you have the Sangraha is not accepted. The next one, they just want to know in the detail.
Yes.
But the point is, without understanding the other two, how does the detail fit in? Because even you explain, it doesn't mean someone will understand it. Because when it's not logical to them, then and it's an issue, then the point is there's have doubts, so they won't have the faith. So even if you do explain it, they won't understand it. But if someone, it doesn't make sense to them. You know, it's not that they doubt it; they just don't understand how it works because maybe they didn't understand the concept or the words used or that. Mm-hmm. Then you explain it, and then it makes sense. Mm-hmm. But that's the whole point: is if someone has an issue, so doubts there, but it's more of a misgiving, then the problem comes up is you can't remove that by explaining the logic of it, because they have to have faith in the Lord. You know, they'll say, "Oh, that's blind." But the point is no, blind is what you don't see. If the devotees are seeing that and explaining it, how can you say it's blind? Maybe you're blind to it. You know, just like, now is it, let's say we have a blind man. And he's wondering why it's getting hot. So then a person next to him who's not blind says, well, that's because the sun's out and you're standing in the sun. So now, if he accepts that, then technically that's blind faith. I mean, he can't really have anything else because he is blind. But you know, the point is, you know, why you're saying that? Why are you're just accepting? No, they can see. So if you follow the instructions, why you can't see? You know, and yeah. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu next sat down at the place prepared for him and all the devotees, headed by Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And all the devotees headed by Lord Nityananda Prabhu surrounded him.
Lord?
Yes.
Lord Chaitanya returned to the story, and there were already Vaishnavas in the story. So does that mean someone wants to tell the devotees in the Maldives that the Lord has arrived?
Not yet. These are the Puri devotees.
And what we don't understand is that.
Appears so. Or at least he was there at that time. You know, as the independent Supreme Lord, he just decided, hey, let's go walk this way. Oh. No, that's later. They were saying that's coming up later. Is that... Yeah, this is coming up. He says, first you have that, then... Lord Chaitanya meets with devotees, then Kala Krishna Das is sent to Bengal. So yeah, that's coming up next. This is just the Puri Wallas. There's, you know, there's, don't worry, there's unlimited there already, and then another unlimited will show up, and they'll all fit because the Dham is unlimited. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy to see his residential quarters, in which all his necessities were taken care of. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, "This place is just befitting you. Please accept it. It is the hope of Kashi Mishra that you do." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "My body belongs to all of you. Therefore, I agree to whatever you say." After this, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, sitting at the right hand of the Lord, began to introduce all the inhabitants of Purushottam Jagannath Puri. So this is just those devotees. The Bhattacharya said, "My dear Lord, all these people who are residents of Neelachal, Jagannath Puri, have been very anxious to meet you. In your absence, all these people have been exactly like thirsty chataka birds crying in disappointment." Because right, kindly accept them. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya first introduced Janardana, saying, "Here is Janardana, servant of Lord Jagannath. He renders service to the Lord when it's time to renovate his transcendental body." Srila Prabhupada, during Anavasara, after the Snan Yatra ceremony, Lord Jagannath is absent from the temple for 15 days so he can be renovated. This occurs annually. Janardana, who is here being introduced to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was rendering this service at the time. The renovation of Lord Jagannath is also known as Nava Yovana, which indicates that the Jagannath deity is being fully restored to you.
2:10:42. I was thinking it was every 12 years and it changed.
No, but this is the yearly where they do painting and everything like that. Because like when they do the Abhishek and that, then you know the paint gets disturbed and so many things, it goes like that. So then after that, then he's repainted, just like we do. Every year he's repainted. So that's what he's saying, the annual. Right? During Anavasara, well, after Snan Yatra ceremony, right between Snan Yatra and the Rath Yatra,
yes,
there's those days. So then Lord Jagannath's efforts from the temple for 15 days so it can be renovated. So this is what he does.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that needs to be done, then that's what he's done. You know, the painting or anything like that. So then he'll look just like he was before. 2:10:42. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya continued, "This is Krishnadas, who carries a golden cane. And here is Sikhi Mahiti, who is in charge of writing." Srila Prabhupada, "The person in charge of writing is also called Dyaula Karana Pada Prapta Karmachari. He is employed especially to write a calendar called Matala Panji." Okay. Budriti. Okay, this is coming from, okay, Adi 10, 135-36. In the Gauranga Deepika 189, it is said that Sikhi Mahiti was formerly an assistant of Srimati Radharani named Rangalekha. His sister Madhavi was also an assistant of Srimati Radharani, known as named Kalakeli. Sikhi Mahiti, Madhavi, and their brother Murari Mahiti were all unalloyed devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who could not forget him for a moment of their lives. There is a book in the Odia language called Chaitanya Charita Mahakavya, in which there are many narrations about Sikhi Mahiti. One narration concerns his seeing an ecstatic dream. Sikhi Mahiti always engaged in serving the Lord in his mind. One night, while he was rendering such service, he fell asleep. And while he was asleep, his brother and sister came to awaken him. At that time, he was in full ecstasy because he was having a wonderful dream that Lord Chaitanya, while visiting the temple of Jagannath, was entering again and coming out of the body of Jagannath and looking at the Jagannath deity. Thus, as soon as he awakened, he embraced his brother and sister and informed them. My dear brother and sister, I have had a wonderful dream that I shall now explain to you. The activities of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the son of Mother Sakshi, are certainly most wonderful. I saw that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, while visiting the temple of Jagannath, was entering the body of Jagannath and again coming out of his body. I am still seeing the same dream. You think I have become deranged. I am still seeing the same dream. And the most wonderful thing is that as soon as I came near Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he embraced me with his long arms. As Sikhi Mahiti spoke to his brother and sister in this way, his voice faltered and there were tears in his eyes. Thus the brothers and sister went to the temple of Jagannath, and there they saw Lord Chaitanya in the Jagmohan Kirtan Hall, looking at the beauty of Sri Jagannath Deity, just as in Sikhi Mahiti's dream. The Lord was so magnanimous that he immediately embraced Sikhi Mahiti, exclaiming, "You are the elder brother of Murari." Being thus embraced, Sikhi Mahiti felt ecstatic, transcendental bliss. Thus he and his brother and sister always engaged in rendering service to the Lord. Wow. Adi Lila 10, 135-136 purport. Within this world, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had 3.5 very confidential devotees. The three were Sarup Gosai, Sri Ramananda Rai, Sikhi Mahiti, and Sikhi Mahiti's sister. Madhavi Devi, being a woman, was considered the half. Thus it is known that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had 3.5 confidential devotees. Adi Lila 10, 137 purport. You know, so you can complain that she's the half, but the point is who else? You know, who else is on the list? Point is, she's on the list. She's on the list, and all the other guys that are saying, she's a woman, she's half. Are you on the list? No? Okay. First, ask the Sarup Damodar, you know, Ramananda Rai, or say, just half. So therefore, if you're not on the list, don't make comments. Sarva Bhoma Bhattacharya continued, "This is Prajumna Misra, who is the chief of all Vaishnavas. He is a great servitor of Jagannath, and his name is Dasa." Srila Prabhupada. In Orissa, most of the Brahmins have the title Dasa. Generally, it is understood that the word Dasa refers to those other than the Brahmanas, but in Orissa, the Brahmanas use the Dasa title. This is confirmed by Kali Bhatta. Actually, everyone is Dasa because everyone is a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In that sense, the bona fide Brahmins has first claim to the appellation Dasa. Therefore, in this case, the designation Dasa is not incompatible. But it also has this, I mean, it comes from the root Dasari, you know, to serve. So that means they're serving the Lord. And so that's where it comes from. Udriti. Prajumna Brahmachari is described in the Antya Lila, second chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. He was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, who changed his name to Nrisinghananda. While coming from the house of Raghava Pandit in Panihati to the house of Shivananda, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in the heart of Nrisinghananda Brahmachari. To acknowledge this, Nrisinghananda Brahmachari used to accept as eatables the food of three deities, namely Jagannath, Nrisinghadev, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila, second chapter, verse 48-78. Upon receiving information that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was proceeding towards Vrindavan from Kulia, Nrisinghananda absorbed himself in meditation and by his mental activities began constructing a very nice road from Kulia to Vrindavan. All of a sudden, however, he broke his meditation and he told the other devotees that this time Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not go to Vrindavan, but would travel only as far as the place known as Kanai Natchala. This is described in Madhya Lila, chapter 1, verses 155-162. The Gaura Ganadesh Deepika 74 says, Aveshas ta tata gyeyo misre prajumna samgyake. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu changed the name of Prajumna Misra, or Prajumna Brahmachari, to Nrisinghananda Brahmachari, for in his heart Lord Nrisinghadev was manifest. It is said that Lord Nrisinghadev used to talk with him directly. Adi Lila 10, 35 purport. Pradyumna Misra is an inhabitant of Orissa. Oh, Pradyumna Misra, an inhabitant of Orissa, was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Pradyumna Misra was born in a Brahmin family and Ramananda Roy of a non-Brahmin family. Yet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised Pradyumna Misra to take instruction from Ramananda Roy. This incident is described in the Antya Lila, Chapter 5, Adi Lila 10, 131, purport. 210, 44-46. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya continued, "This is Murari Mahiti, the brother of Sikhi Mahiti. He has nothing other than your lotus feet. Here are Chandaneshwara, Simheshwara, Murari, Brahmana, and Vishnudas. They are all constantly engaged in meditating on your lotus feet. This is Paramananda Prahararaj, who is known as Mahapatra. He is very, very intelligent." Srila Prabhupada. Prahararaja is a designation given to Brahmins who represent the king when the throne is vacant. In Orissa, between the time of a king's death and the enthronement of another king, a representative must sit on the throne. This representative, called Prahararaja. The Prahararaja is generally selected from a family of priests close to the king. During the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Prahararaja was Paramananda Prahararaja. 210, 47-49. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya continued, "All these pure devotees serve as ornaments to Jagannath Puri. They are always undeviatingly meditating upon your lotus feet." After this introduction, everyone fell to the ground like rods. Being very merciful upon them all, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced each one of them. At this time, Bhavananda Rai appeared with four of his sons, and all of them fell down at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada. Bhavananda Rai had five sons, one of whom was the exalted personality known as Ramananda Rai. Bhavananda Rai first met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after his return from South India. At that time, Ramananda Rai was still serving at his government post. Therefore, when Bhavananda Rai went to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went with his other four sons. They were named Vaninath, Gopinath, Kala Nidhi, and Shudha Nidhi. A description of Bhavananda Rai and his five sons is given in the Adi Lila 10, 133-134, footnote 3. Embracing Rai Bhavananda, the Lord declared to him, "You formerly appeared as Pandu, and your five sons appeared as the five Pandavas." Adi Lila 10, 132. 210, 50-54. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya continued. This is Bhavananda Rai, the father of Sri Ramananda Rai, who is his first son. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Bhavananda Rai and with great respect spoke of his son Ramananda Rai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu honored Bhavananda Rai by saying, "The glories of a person who has the jewel of a son like Ramananda Rai cannot be described within this mortal world. You are Maharaj Pandu himself, and your wife is Kunti Devi herself. All your highly intellectual sons are representatives of the five Pandavas." After hearing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's praise, Bhavananda Rai submitted, "I am in the fourth class of the social order, and I engage in mundane affairs. Although I am very fallen, you have still touched me. This is proof that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead." Srila Prabhupada. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 5.18, "Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavihastini suni chaiva swapake cha panditas samadarshinaha." The humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with equal vision a learned and gentle brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog-eater, outcast. Those who are highly advanced in spiritual understanding do not care about a person's material condition. The spiritually advanced person sees the spiritual energy of every living being, and consequently he makes no distinction between a learned brahmana, a dog, a chandala, or anyone else. He is not influenced by the material body, but sees a person's spiritual identity. Consequently, Bhavananda Rai appreciated Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's statement, which showed that the Lord did not consider the social position of Bhavananda Rai, who belonged to the Shudra caste, engaged in mundane activities. Rather, the Lord considered the spiritual position of Bhavananda Rai along with that of Ramananda Rai and his brothers. The servant of the Lord is also similarly inclined. He gives shelter to any person, any living entity, regardless of whether he belongs to a Brahmana family or a Chandala family. The spiritual master reclaims all people and encourages everyone in spiritual life. By taking shelter of such a devotee, one can make his life successful, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.4.18. Kirata Hunandara Hulinda Pulkasha Abhiras Sumba Yavana Kashadayaha Yenye Chapapa Yad Apashrayashrayaha Shudyanti Tasmai Prabhavishnave Namaha. Kiratas, Hunas, Andras, Hulindas, Pulkashas, Abhiras, Shumbas, Yavanas, and members of the Kasha races, and even others who are addicted to sinful acts, can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord, due to his being the supreme power. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Whoever takes shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his pure devotee is elevated to the spiritual order and purified from material contamination. This is also confirmed by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita 9.32. Yam hi parta yapasritye napasritya yepi syu papayonayaha sriyo vaishas tatashudras tepi yanti param gatim. O son of Prita, those who take shelter of me, though they may be of lower birth, women, vaishyas, merchants, and shudras, workers, can attain the supreme destination. 2.10.55. Appreciating Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's favor, Bhavananda Rai also said, along with my home, riches, servants, and five sons, I surrender myself at your lotus feet. Srila Prabhupada, this is the process of surrender. As Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings in Sharanagati, Manasa Deha Geha Yokichumor Arpilun Tuyapade Nandakishor. When one surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Lord, he does so with everything in his possession, his house, his body, his mind, and whatever else he possesses. If there is any obstruction to this surrendering process, one should immediately give it up without attachment. One can surrender with all his family members. There is no need to take sannyas. However, if the surrendering process is hampered by so-called family members, then one should immediately give them up to complete the surrendering process. So that means if they're hampering devotional service, that's actually so-called family members. They seem to be family, but they're not really that great a family. But if the family, everything's engaged in Krishna service, then that situation is perfect for developing love for Krishna surrender. Yes? No?
Yes.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.